I'm Dan Hughes in the Old Time Radio Corner. Quick as a Flash was a popular radio game show that has been pretty much forgotten. It ran on the Mutual Network from 1944 to 1949, then went to ABC until 1951. On Mutual, it was a once-a-week nighttime show, but ABC made it a three-times-a-week daytime show, and then a five-times-a-week daytime show. The host for the first 3 years was Ken Roberts, then Win Elliott for the next two. And Bill Cullen took it over when it moved to daytime. The music was provided by the Ray Block Orchestra. It was a strange program. Six contestants from the audience competed, and there were just five questions on the entire show. The first was current events, the second music, the third history, the fourth literature or entertainment. But the fifth question was the highlight. A short mystery play was presented, and the contestants had to solve the crime. Many top radio actors played the characters they were famous for in these short plays, and in this episode, the star is Brett Morrison as The Shadow. From March 23, 1947, here's Quick as a Flash.
The makers of Hillbrose Watches present Quick as a Flash. Time to wind up your mind with Hillbrose. Makers of Hillbrose Watches, H-E-L-B-R-O-S, Hillbrose, the correct watch for the correct time, presents Quick as a Flash, the lightning-fast dramatized quiz starring Ken Roberts. And as guest in our mystery puzzle today, one of radio's all-time favorites, Lamont Cranston, alias The Shadow, with Ray Block and the Hillbrose Orchestra. And here to get the program moving with the speed of lightning is our presiding officer, Ken Roberts.
Thank you, Cy Harris. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's time to play the game that determines whether you can really act quick as a flash. As usual, six contestants from our studio audience have been brought up on the stage and are seated at a long table. They're going to be pitted against each other in a series of dramatic puzzles worth more than $300. And you folks at home, you're invited to play a parlor version of Quick as a Flash by trying to beat our contestants to the answers. Now for our first puzzle of the day, with a prize of $21 from Hillbrose. We're going to bring you the story of an event we should all have read about. As soon as any of our six contestants know it, they'll stop the description by pressing on a buzzer, like this. The one who's first with the correct answer wins, but they'll have only one chance in each race. Get ready now to act quick as a flash, as soon as you know this well-remembered event.
Flash, it's wedding bells after all for that romantic pair. That certain loving couple who wouldn't let distance or authority stand between them. No, though miles separated them, they finally made it. The day at last they said, I do to each other. Yes, the groom.
I see lightning striking now in front of one of our contestants on Quick as a Flash. It's Marilyn Hancock. And what is your answer, Miss Hancock?
Is that Leo DeRosa and Lorraine Day?
No, I'm sorry. That isn't the right answer, Miss Hancock. We have five guests left on Quick as a Flash. And we'll pick up our story. We had just learned that today at last they finally said I do to each other.
Yes, the groom, known to all his associates as a finagler of fancy phrases, wouldn't let another moment go by. He pitched woo straight and fast the minute he heard he was free. Free to marry the raven-haired beauty he'd met on the boat. Yes, and it's orchids at last for her after spinning dizzily since the summer. But she's off the wheel where she's been ever since her British-born sweetheart couldn't make up his mind between love and duty. Well, his choice is history now. According to custom, the groom did not slip the ring on her finger this fine American morning. Neither did the bride give her age. But it's a fact that her husband was one of the youngest and finest catches in all New England. And catch him she did. Or it was she who caught the question.
Lightning struck now in front of another one of our contestants. That's Phil Hyden from here in New York. And what is your answer, Mr. Hyden?
Priscilla, John Alden.
The courtship of Miles Standish would be our answer, and that's absolutely right. Hillbrose presents you with $21. Yes, Mr. Hyden, Quick as a Flash has just brought us news of the courtship of Miles Standish. Another example, of course, of the eternal triangle. And there'd never have been that triangle if Priscilla hadn't been going around in circles and Miles hadn't been such a square. As a matter of fact, in our first line, we said the loving couple was separated by Miles. Well, are you married, Mr. Hyden?
Yes.
You are married?
Yes.
I see. Well, did your wife propose to you herself, or did she send her best friend to do it for us?
Well, we don't... I don't quite remember now. We just got together, I guess.
You mean you proposed to her?
Oh, well, we sort of melted. I mean, no one took the initiative, really.
Nobody proposed to anybody?
No, we just took it for granted that we just were meant for each other, so...
Well, isn't that old-fashioned? But it sounds very, very lovely, Mr. Hyden. It really does. Welcome to Quick as a Flash. I said you're from New York. What part of the city are you from?
Bronx, New York.
You're from the Bronx? What do you do, Mr. Hyden?
Barber.
You're a barber?
Yeah.
Well, it's very nice to have you with us today. When the time came, you spoke for yourself and the $21 you've just won, of course. Let's see which of our contestants will speak up before you and our next Quick as a Flash puzzle worth $31 from Hellbrook. In this race, by means of their music, Ray Block and the orchestra are going to tell us all about a very well-known date. By putting together the titles of the following songs, you should be able to tell us what date that is for $31. Lightning striking in front of another one of our contestants again. It's the girl who lost in the last race, but trying now. That's Marilyn Hancock. And what is your answer, Marilyn?
March 15th, income tax day.
It certainly is the right date, Marilyn Hancock. And your gift from Hellbrook is $31. Well, you certainly got in under the deadline, Marilyn Hancock. Quick as a Flash has just reminded us of a day we most of us rather forget. Income tax day, March 15th. How'd you get your answer? What was the song that Ray Block played that gave it to you?
Money is the root of all evil.
Money is the root of all evil, and that suggests it to you. Well, isn't that interesting? The first song was March for Americans, and that's where we got the month from, March, from March 15th. And, of course, they do bring to mind the filling out of the income tax form, and believe me, that's the only form men don't whistle at. Well, how long have you been in New York, Marilyn Hancock?
All my life.
All your life? What part of the city do you live in?
Forest Hills.
Forest Hills? And what do you do out there?
I'm a college student at Delphi College.
I see. And what are you studying to be?
An accountant.
An accountant? Well, then this date, March 15th, will soon be a national holiday for you, won't it? Do you think you're going to go in for income tax work particularly?
I'd rather not.
You'd rather not? Well, you won't have to report this $31 you've just won, at least not until next year. And you just increased it, of course, by $31, your income. And I'm sure our other contestants hope they don't draw a blank in our next Quick as a Flash race. Our other contestants today include Aaron Levine, a young man in the Merchant Marine from Long Island. We also have Kay Kelly, a very charming lady from Oklahoma City. William Hammock from Cuthbert, Georgia. And Mrs. Charles Jelinek from Providence, Rhode Island. I want to wish you all a lot of luck. Now here's the Hellbrook $25 award to H. Harvey Myers of C.W. Stewart Incorporated, Jewelers of Stamford, Connecticut.
With spring just around the corner, he asks about sundials. He wants a motto for a sundial, and here's the Hellbrook answer. Probably the most famous motto is one from Old Venice, which says, I number none but the cloudless hours. And here's question number two. Why is next Friday the first day of spring? And here's the Hellbrook answer. Because on March 21st, our days and nights are equal. And from then on, the days begin to get longer. It marks a sort of beginning of things, a time to spruce up.
And this is Ken Roberts about to take you and our six contestants into our next Quick as a Flash contest, worth $41 from Hellbrook. This third problem is a movie test. We're going to tell you the story of a popular motion picture. As soon as you recognize it, press on your buzzer quick as a flash. Now, what movie would you say this is for $41?
How good it is to be at rest. Gone now are all the storms of my life. All the bitter unhappiness I knew. Now, when all appears to be over, my life really begins. If I could look into a mirror at this moment, I know I'd see myself as I really am, without the awful darkness that hid me from myself.
And lightning strikes again on Quick as a Flash. In a number of places, the first one to appear was in front of Aaron Levine. And Aaron Levine, what is your answer? What
movie?
Would
that
movie
be The Dark Mirror with Olivia de Havilland?
No, I'm sorry, it isn't The Dark Mirror. And there was somebody else who wanted to try then. I believe that was Phil Hyden. Do you want to try now, Mr. Hyden?
Count me out. Same thing.
Count you out? Well, according to our rules, you're not out of our race on Quick as a Flash.
Well, I thought The Dark Mirror.
We have... You want to get out of it anyway?
No, I thought I was out because I thought the same thing that Mr. Levine did.
No, according to our rules, you have a chance to continue.
Thank you very much.
Well, you're very, very welcome, Mr. Hyden. We have five guests left on Quick as a Flash now. We'll pick up our story. Everybody's trying to find out this movie, remember? And the line with which we'll return to our story is, I know I'd see myself as I really am without the awful darkness that hid me from myself.
But I know I've changed without looking. There's light now all around me. And I'm free at last from the bonds that held me all those years. Oh, how I tried to escape, but I couldn't get away from myself. Not even after I'd put an ocean between me and my unhappiness. Now, at last.
And now Phil Hyden wants to try again and see how well he does this time. Phil Hyden, what is your answer now?
Steve Grant.
No, I'm sorry. This time you are out, Mr. Hyden. You had almost two chances. We have four guests left on Quick as a Flash now trying to get this movie. We'll pick it up now where the young lady had just said, not even after I put an ocean between me and my unhappiness.
Now, at last, after 16 years, I've found my escape in France. I know they're all shocked as to how I got out, finding me as they did in the Seine, but it was the only way.
And here's a flash of another streak of lightning, somebody we haven't heard from as yet, William Hammack. And what is your answer, Mr. Hammack?
Would that be the razor's edge?
It certainly would be the razor's edge, Mr. Hammack. And here is a Hellbrook prize of $41. Well, that's what I call a keen answer, Mr. Hammack. Quick as a Flash has just taken us to the movies to see that popular motion picture by Somerset Maugham, The Razor's Edge. Mr. Hyden, I think this is one movie you might have gotten. We said you were a barber before, and after all, I thought you were going to get The Razor's Edge. You tried hard enough.
I saw it, too.
You did see The Razor's Edge. Well, isn't that a shame that you didn't win it? But isn't it nice of Mr. Hammack that you didn't, because he got to be our winner? And, Mr. Hammack, that wasn't so hard, was it?
Not too hard, no.
No, of course not. Well, what do you do when you're not appearing on Quick as a Flash, Mr. Hammack?
I'm a farmer.
You're a farmer?
Yes, sir.
From somewhere down in Georgia, I believe.
Cuthbert, Georgia.
Cuthbert. Where is that exactly?
Well, it's about 200 miles south of Atlanta.
I see. And what kind of farming do you do?
Peanut farm.
You have a peanut farm?
That's right.
Do they come up roasted?
Well, that's a little extra work you have to do.
Well, you just almost roasted us. You got your $41 for yourself, and of course, you did that by recognizing the razor's edge. When did you see the picture, Mr. Hammack?
Well, as a matter of fact, I didn't. I recognized it from the book.
You recognized it from the book? Well, they tell me that the razor's edge as a picture could stand a little cutting. And maybe they're right. I went to see it at 11 in the morning, and by the time I got out, I had 5 o'clock shadow. But in any case, it's time now for our lucky race, and this time Hellbros will pay the winner $51 plus a beautiful Hellbros original watch. In this special contest, we're going to present our version of the story of a widely read about discovery. What story do you think this is for $51 and a Hellbros watch?
No doubt you've read of our tremendous discovery, but we deserve no special credit for our find. An examination of the bare facts in the case would prove this immediately. My associates and I had been confronted with a mystery. We decided that nothing on earth would keep us from solving it. But success came slowly. So slowly that toward the end we were all growling at each other. Then I saw the answer. But when I hastened to share it with the others, they were skeptical.
You realize what you're saying, madam?
Of course I do. The only thing that'll explain everything. How can you ignore the evidence?
What evidence?
He's right, ma'am. You have nothing to proceed on.
How can you be so blind? Ask yourself these questions. First of all, what could penetrate in here? What else could cause so much damage?
And here's the winner of our last race, William Hammack, who wants to try again. That flash of lightning was his. What is your answer, Mr. Hammack?
The discovery of radium.
No, I'm sorry, that isn't the right answer, Mr. Hammack. If somebody else wants to try, that's Mrs. Charles Jelinek. And what is your answer, Mrs. Jelinek?
Penicillin.
No, I'm sorry, it isn't the discovery of penicillin either. And we'll go back to our story with four contestants still qualified on Quick as a Flash. We'll pick up our story where the woman in our play had just said, what else could cause so much damage?
You're jumping to conclusions, my dear.
You can't ignore what is virtually in front of your eyes. I tell you, it's the only possible solution.
You forget you still have furnished no tangible proof.
If it's proof you want, you'll get it. Now listen to my logic. How can something disappear which we know existed? Of that we're sure. The three serial numbers prove it. But isn't it just...
And here's one of our early winners trying to win again. That's Phil Hyden, who just flashed on his streak of lightning. Phil Hyden, what discovery do you say this is?
Discovery of uranium.
No, I'm sorry, that isn't the right answer either. And we have only three guests who are qualified on Quick as a Flash now. And we'll return to our story where we had just heard the woman say again, the three serial numbers prove that.
But isn't it just possible that one of us might have come back
and tampered with it? No.
Go on. Go on, my dear.
Now, consider the next mysterious occurrences. What had enough force to splinter the wood?
You think the unknown quantity was responsible for the violence there, too?
Definitely. Now, bear with me just a bit longer. Here we are confronted with a great problem. There is one possible place where we haven't looked for the solution.
And that is?
In that room there.
What?
You're mad.
Then go ahead and look.
All right. But if you're wrong about this...
Well, what do you know? Mama was right.
Behold, the golden key to our puzzle.
I apologize for my doubts, my wife. So this is the person responsible for all our troubles.
Yes. Now, the question arises, what are we going to do with her? Just because she's made Junior's bed, we certainly can't let her lie in it.
And, ladies and gentlemen, and I saw the flash of a streak of lightning at that very moment, and that was in front of Aaron Levine, who wants to try. Mr. Levine, what is your answer to this?
Well, I'd say that was Goldilocks being found by the three bears.
It certainly is. Goldilocks being discovered by the bears, and Aaron Levine will win $51 and a hell gross watch. Well, you certainly made an excellent discovery for yourself, Aaron Levine. This has been a Quick as a Flash reenactment of that great moment in the annals of research when, after exhaustive study and intensive work, the three bears discovered Goldilocks. Well, what was said by the characters in our play that gave you the answer, Aaron Levine?
Well, the discovery of the girl in the bed and, of course, the golden key.
That's what gave it to you? Well, we might have guessed that these were three bears talking when the mama bear said we were all growling at each other. A little later, the plates of porridge were recalled when Mama Bear mentioned as proof that someone had been in their house, the three serial numbers, and practically the opening line gave us the answer, for in that line, our heroine spoke of the bare facts in the case. Well, Aaron Levine, were you ever surprised to find a beautiful stranger in your house?
No, I haven't had that pleasure.
Well, maybe you'll have it someday. I don't know about those things. What do you do, Aaron Levine?
I'm in the Merchant Marine.
You're a member of the Merchant Marine.
That's right.
And you go to the Merchant Marine Academy, I believe,
That's
by
right.
your uniform.
That's right.
And how much longer before you're an officer?
30 months to go, yes.
30 months to go? Well, lots of luck to you. I certainly know that you're going to make a very wonderful officer now that you've proven how astute you are and quick as a flash.
Thank you.
You just tell us about Goldilocks and the three bears. How do you think Goldilocks felt when she woke up and saw that family standing in front of her?
Well, I don't know. I guess like Little Red Riding Hood and the wolf.
Well, except that wolves are a little worse than bears, don't you think? There's no doubt about it. The three bears discovered Goldilocks, and you discovered something pretty attractive yourself if you just look in front of you. What is it that you see there, Aaron Levine?
A beautiful Helbros watch.
And have you any need for a watch?
Oh, but definitely. Mine kind of takes the wrong time once in a while.
Well, you're going to get the right time now that you've won that Helbros watch. Let me tell you, you'll appreciate it more and more as you find out how trustworthy and accurate it is. That's because it's a Helbros original. And now for our big Quick as a Flash mystery contest, the Helbros Derby, starring Lamont Cranston, The Shadow. The prize in the Derby will be $101 in cash. But Cy Harris, do you know that everybody is talking about our handsome director?
Who, me?
No, not you. That was Ray Block, ladies and gentlemen. At least he thinks he's handsome. The handsome director we were talking about was...
The Helbros director.
Now for our big race, the Helbros Derby. We've already tested our guests on their ability to recognize famous events, stories, movies, and personalities, no matter how disguised. And now we test their powers of observation and deduction. We do this with a puzzle in crime, in which we ask an outstanding radio star to set the stage for us. Today we've invited Brett Morrison, known to you all as Lamont Cranston, alias The Shadow. The contestant who is first to come up with the criminal and with the reason Cranston knew that person was the criminal will be awarded $101. And now it is my great pleasure to introduce...
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The Shadow knows.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, as that nemesis of the underworld, the little man who is and is not there at the same time, Lamont Cranston, alias The Shadow. Well, welcome to Quick as a Flash, Lamont.
It's a great pleasure to be here, Ken.
Well, I know you want to get right down to work, so I won't delay you. What's the title of your problem for today?
Murder is a Deadly Mistake. I call this story Murder is a Deadly Mistake because it best describes how I became involved in the case. It was all on account of a switchboard operator's error. On Friday the 13th, around 5 o'clock in the morning, my phone began to ring. Naturally, I was a little annoyed as I picked up the receiver. Hello.
Hiya, Bobby. When are we going to get together?
Oh, haven't you anything better to do than call people in the middle of the night?
Oh, now, Bobby, you don't want to take that attitude.
Who is this?
Georgie Mendoza.
Who?
Georgie Mendoza.
Now, you've got the wrong number, mister. I don't know anyone by that name.
Come on, Bobby. That's no way to talk to your old roommate.
My old roommate?
Yes. Don't you remember the good old days we spent together at Ossining on the Hudson?
What are you talking about?
I don't blame you for wanting to forget him. They tell me you're a big dealer now.
Look, Mendoza, you're making a mistake.
Sure, sure. Listen, Bobby, I'm a little short of cash. You suppose you could dig me up $5,000 for me in the next 24 hours? I'm staying at the Glenview apartment.
Who do you think you're talking to, Mendoza?
Convict 84726, also known as Leon Cranston.
Cranston? My name happens to be Cranston, with a T.
What?
You heard me.
The operator must have got me the wrong number.
Obviously.
Okay, fella. Forget it.
I don't know, Mendoza. I've got a pretty good memory.
I said forget it. It was just a gag among friends. And if you're smart, you won't try to horn in on it.
Well, I like a joke as well as the next party, so despite Mr. Mendoza's warning, I couldn't forget his call. And developments in the next 48 hours made me remember it all the more. But on Sunday morning, there was an item in the paper that an ex-convict named George Mendoza had been found poisoned to death. Then I thought it might be a good idea if the Shadow made a call of his own. Only this time, there'd be no mistake. I looked up the name of Leon Cranston in the phone book, and a half hour later, I was ringing his doorbell.
All right, just a second. I'm coming. What the... Alice.
Yes, dear?
Did you hear the doorbell ring?
Yeah. Who is it, Leon?
That's just it. There's no one here.
What? Oh, that's impossible.
Well, look.
Why, there's no one in the hall.
No. And whoever rang the bell didn't have time to get back to the elevator. I don't get it.
You will if you're not careful, Mr. Cranston.
I heard it. Who said that?
They call me the Shadow.
What do you want here?
The murderer of George Mendoza.
I don't know anyone by that name.
You're lying, Cranston. Mendoza was blackmailing you. He knew you were an ex-convict.
Well, my husband didn't kill him, Shadow.
No? And who did?
I did.
You're crazy, Alice.
No, I knew what I was doing.
Don't believe her, Shadow. I killed him.
That's not true.
I went to his apartment yesterday at 1 o'clock. He was having his lunch. He got up from the table to get a bottle of beer, and I put the poison in his glass.
Don't believe him, Shadow. He couldn't have done it. Mendoza was dead when he got there. I poisoned him long before that.
What poison did you use?
I don't know its name. It was in a bottle I found around the house.
Can you name the poison, Cranston?
No. I got it from an exterminator.
Who?
That won't do you any good, Shadow. He died last week.
That's very convenient.
Can't you see he's making this all up? When Mendoza called Leon, I was listening on the extension. Then I went to his apartment at 7 that morning. He was having his breakfast. I asked him if I could have some coffee. When he went to the stove, I dropped the poison in his orange juice.
She's lying, Shadow. She's trying to protect me.
No, no, no. I'm only telling the truth.
All right, Mr. and Mrs. Cranston. We'll call this a draw. But we'll replay this match right after I get a little more information from police headquarters.
Come in. Oh, hi, Lamont.
Hello, Sergeant. How are things?
Couldn't be better. What brings you down here?
Oh, curiosity. I was wondering how you were making out with that Mendoza killing.
Oh, that's in the bag.
What?
Sure, we picked up the killer 15 minutes ago.
Well, who was it?
I'll show you. Steven, will you show our friend in?
Why, go on me, you big ape.
Keep quiet, Brooks. Lamont, here's the boy I was telling you about. His name is Walter Brooks. He killed George Mendoza.
I did not.
He was blackmailing you, wasn't he?
That doesn't mean anything. I wasn't the only sucker on his list.
No, but you had an appointment with him at 5:30 yesterday.
I told you I didn't keep it.
Don't give me that. Somehow you got him to take some prussic acid.
Wait a minute, Sergeant. Was that the poison?
Yeah. Want to see the coroner's report?
I'd like nothing better.
Help yourself.
Name of deceased George Mendoza. Body discovered by building superintendent 6 p.m. Saturday. Cause of death, prussic acid, which worked instantly. Rigor mortis setting in at time of discovery. Deceased was found lying on the floor, a broken drinking glass at his side.
And what do you think, Lamont?
I think I can prove who killed George Mendoza.
Why not let us in on the secret?
I'd like nothing better, Sergeant. But suppose we give our quick-as-a-flash contestants a try at it first.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The first contestant who wants to try is Phil Hyden. And remember, Mr. Hyden, you must tell us which of these suspects you think committed the murder and how Lamont Cranston knew it.
I think that George Brooks did commit the murder.
And why do you think so, Mr. Hyden?
Well, because the interval between the time of the supposed taking of the poison and the finding of the body. In other words, the coroner said that he found that the death took place instantaneously. At the time of the taking of the poison, at 6 o'clock, that was.
Yes.
And the time between the finding of the body and the taking of the poison is too short an interval.
Well, I'm sorry, that wouldn't be our answer, Mr. Hyden. And you're eliminated from this race. We have 5 contestants still eligible. Does one of them want to try now? We have 5 seconds. So there's one who wants to try. That's Mrs. Charles Jelinek. That's all we'll have time for. Mrs. Jelinek, rather, what is your answer?
Well, I think that George Brooks did it, too, because the lady and her husband said that they gave... She put the poison in the orange juice in the morning.
No, I'm very sorry. That isn't our answer either, Mrs. Jelinek, and I will have to give you the solution myself. We learned, if you remember, from the coroner's report that rigor mortis was setting in at the time the body was discovered, 6 p.m. Since rigor sets in approximately 5 hours after death, Mendoza died at 1 p.m. and died instantly, since the poison used was prussic acid, which we said kills instantly. In our story, there was only one person who claimed being in Mendoza's apartment at 1 o'clock. That person was Leon Cranston. Therefore, he must have been the murderer. Well, no one won our Hellbrook Derby this week, so $101 will be added to the grand prize in next week's Derby, making the total for that big mystery race $202. And, Lamont Cranston, we really enjoyed your story today.
No more than I enjoyed telling it, Ken. Who's going to set the stage in next week's Puzzle and Crime?
Another of radio's favorites. From out west with an exciting yarn, next Sunday comes Mark Chase, the sheriff.
Well, that sounds like fun, Ken. We'll both be listening, me and my shadow.
Yes, and I'm suggesting right here and now that all our listeners tune in a half hour early next week and catch that thrilling program of yours, Lamont Cranston, alias the Shadow. Quick as a Flash is produced by Proctor and Lewis, written by Gene Wang, directed by Richard Lewis. Listen to Brett Morrison as Lamont Cranston on the Shadow program, sponsored by Blue Coal, immediately preceding Quick as a Flash over most of these stations. Don't forget next week, Quick as a Flash's guest detective, Mark Chase, the sheriff. This is Cy Harris speaking for Hellbros, H-E-L-B-R-O-S, Hellbros, the correct watch for the correct time. This is Mutual Broadcasting System.
From March 23, 1947, an episode of the nighttime version of Quick as a Flash. If there are old-time radio programs you remember and would like to hear again, drop me a note at Dan, D-A-N, at radiofun.info. Thanks for listening. In the Old Time Radio Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.